This is an ABC podcast.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Huntley, and welcome to The History Listen. You've probably never heard of a place called Delegat, with its population of 351 people. But it's famous, and for a particular reason, its location. It's right on the border of New South Wales and Victoria, and borders are always fraught.
Today, a 130-year-old legal oversight was fixed when New South Wales and Victoria came to Delegat River to punctuate history. Governors John Landy and Marie Bashir signed off on the overdue document.
Do you have a theory on why it's taken so long?
No idea, but these things do happen. But I think what we've done today cements the boundary in a very, very permanent way.
Delegat's day in the sun 12 years ago, when the border between the two states known as the Black Allan Line was finally ratified. In today's program, we're going back further. Most of us know that the border between New South Wales and Victoria is mostly the famous Murray River, but there's another important section. The rest of the boundary line on the eastern side that doesn't meander like a river but is dead straight is called the Black Allan Line. And the town of Delegat sits about a third of the way along it. That's where Delegat comes into it. In today's doco, producer Lynn Gallagher explores the stories and people behind this line, and as an avid bushwalker, decided to go right to the source. And she's come in to have a chat and set the scene for us. Welcome, Lynn.
Hello, Rebecca.
Lynn, what actually started you on this hunt for the Black Allan Line? I mean, why do you feel it's significant?
Well, borders are a whole story in themselves and completely fascinating. And the chance to actually go to that corner of the state where I'd never been before was just fun. So you get this level of nature and a level of history both together, and that's just a fantastic experience to be able to do that, and to be able to do that with a microphone was even better.
And I'm a bit of a bushwalker, but for those of us who are non-bushwalkers, can you explain a bit about what this word Cairns mean? Am I saying it right? Cairns?
Cairn.
What is that? Because it features a lot in the documentary.
The Cairns are a pile of rocks. And so why it's fascinating is this is a pile of rocks that was put there by the original surveyors, Black and Allan, in the 1870s. So when you're marching along the line, you don't know if you're in Victoria or in New South Wales. And there's just nature all around you. And suddenly you come across this man-made structure, this beautifully constructed pile of rocks that's, you know, about 2 metres high. And it's like a pyramid. And there's a bit of wood in the middle that precisely marks the spot, the latitude and longitude of the bit where New South Wales is on one side and Victoria is on the other, and you can jump around and across it and just think about those original surveyors who actually had to really struggle in difficult conditions to put that rock there over 100 years ago.
And what I love about the documentary is that actually those original surveyors, only working with some what we would describe now as rudimentary tools, they did a pretty good job.
They were so accurate that if you did this surveying again today with proper GPS tools, you wouldn't get a better result. To actually talk to surveyors and see the respect in their voices for their ancestors, really, to discover these man-made structures in the middle of nature. And more as the story gets told, it's becoming a thing for bushwalkers to go and do, because it's a difficult walk, it's challenging, and it's got this added level of history. And so you get to go into these remote parts of the Australian wilderness and take yourself on this journey. There's no tracks. It's your skill that will lead you from one border cairn to the next.
Please set the scene, Lynn. You start from where?
We start from the source of the Murray, because that's where the two surveyors, Alexander Black and Alexander Allan, started out in 1870 to mark this thing called the Black Allan Line. And it traces right down to the coast at Cape Howe. I don't actually go the whole way, but I do find my way to the number one border cairn, which is where the program starts.
Okay, well, it's back to the 19th century and into the wilderness with the History Listen. Here's Lynn Gallagher with the Black Allan Line.
Murray Spring, latitude 36 degrees, 47 minutes, 49.2. Water care number 4, seconds south, latitude 36 degrees, 51
minutes. So where are we?
So we've just come up the Combat Trail from Combat Flat, and we've probably walked up for about 35 minutes. We're looking for the source of the river, so we know that it's going to be somewhere near a saddle, and we're sort of aiming for that lower part in the landscape, which suggests that that's where
55.8918
the water course would start.
Longitude 148 degrees.
One of the problems for the early surveyors was finding the source of the Murray River, and this is what I'm attempting to do here with Parks Victoria Ranger Thomas Grounds. The river fans out into three small streams, and the spring of the most easterly one could be anywhere.
There's a little bit of flow. It's probably, I'd just say, a metre wide, maybe not even. And this is the start of the Murray trickling out of a bit further up here, which we'll get to.
So theoretically, we cross this ditch from New South Wales into Victoria again.
From New South Wales back into Victoria, yeah.
The other problem in the mapping of the landscape in the late 19th century was the sheer size of the task. From here, on the peaks of the Great Dividing Range down to the coast, it's 176.5 kilometres. So surveyors Alexander Black and Alexander Allen divided the job. They formed two separate surveying parties. Black did the first third over the Alps and met up with Allen at Delegate, the border town where the line was made official in 2006. This is the Delegate General Store, which is run by Irene Butterworth, but she's also a farmer and owns cattle. Her property sits on both sides of the border and even has its own border cairns.
I'm Irene Butterworth. We run the local general store and also the local licensed post office. In the background, we run a farm of about 4,000 acres, and I've always been fascinated with Black Allen Line. It's pretty rugged country around it, no matter where you look at it from. I can't imagine today's guys being able to achieve that. And it was all done with literally pieces of chain.
Victoria separated from New South Wales on the 1st of July 1851. Originally, Victorians had wanted the Murrumbidgee River to be the boundary line, and if that had happened, half of the ACT would now be in Victoria. The dispute was bitter. And finally, Queen Victoria herself made the ruling. She decided in favour of New South Wales and in favour of the Murray, because New South Wales was the primary colony. But she didn't decide who gets the river itself. And that was another long-running court case, and again, New South Wales won. It means that even today, you can't stand on the bank in Victoria and cast a line into the Murray without a New South Wales fishing licence. But a river already acts like a border itself. Whereas hectares of bush make it impossible to create a dividing line. So I asked Irene to draw me a map of the border cairns on her property.
Oh, God. So we're coming from Delegate, okay? And that is my version of a bridge. The border is there, and it goes for 5 km. Then it disappears, and somewhere up there there is a cairn, but it's not in such good nick.
And where are your cows?
Here. Up here eating hay at the moment because there's no feed. They're in the Victorian block. They're not
in the New South Wales block.
No.
Theoretically, Irene's cows should have 2 ear tags. They should be registered in New South Wales and Victoria.
Don't anybody ever get property on 2 sides of a border. You're dealing with 2 lots of politics. Every time my cattle cross the border, I'm not putting another tag in. All of our stock have the 1 identification, no matter which state they're in.
Back in the late 19th century, the Black Allen Line had to be marked out physically on the ground rather than on a map alone because of, you guessed it, the discovery of gold. In the end, it was all about money and the policing of unruly prospectors. Who was responsible, New South Wales or Victoria? The borderline itself was a joint effort. It was conducted over 2 years, and the Victorian office did the work and New South Wales paid half. I'm showing Irene the budget from 1870.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I wonder what it would cost them in today's world. They would have teams and teams of people, not just a little group. Ah.
And they're down to pounds, shillings and pence.
Yes, but I grew up with pounds, shillings and pence.
The document includes the cost for the hire of pack horses, forage for those horses, axemen, rations, and equipment such as single-walled tents and theodolites. It comes to a total of £4,822, 4 shillings and 11 pence.
Beautiful writing. I wonder if they had to work from the copper plate book that I had to at school.
Just add up the pence for me.
4, 5, 6, 15. Tuppence out.
Tuppence.
No, somebody can't add up. They didn't have calculators then.
I'm on hold now to a contemporary surveyor. His name's Michael Sadler, and he's telling me that it would cost around $1 million if we were to mark out the straight bit of the New South Wales and Victorian border today.
Lynn.
Michael, hello. Thank you so much for doing this.
No worries.
And he adds, even with today's GPS equipment, it wouldn't be any more accurate.
Certainly, it would be a very tough project.
Would you take it on?
Oh, I think that you'd need to take a very big cup of cement and a lot of courage, bills to take on that as a commercial venture. It would be a very tough project. I think you no matter how brave the surveyor is, I think you might lose a few mates on the way.
And I did check; they were actually 16.8 inches out.
Yeah, 43 centimetres. And that was over 187 kilometres or something. It's just unheard of, that precision, just totally unheard of.
So you might be wondering what surveyor Michael Sadler means by only a few centimetres out. Let me fill you in. The very genesis of the Victorian New South Wales border began with a meeting of the two colonial governments at what was then thought to be the most easterly point of Australia, Cape Howe. On this spot, they built a cairn and they gave it a name, Conference Point. Black and Allen were then told to begin mapping a line from the source of the Murray down to this cairn. And the legal requirements were that they should come within a chain, that is, the length of a colonial cricket pitch, of this Cape Howe cairn, and the governors would then formally recognise the borderline. Our Alexanders, Black and Allen, came far closer.
Each time my staff drive across the Black Allen line, at whatever point, it's official company policy that you've got to salute and almost give a little cheer to the old timers, because they were just absolute rock stars in the ability to undertake a tough job, and unrelenting it would have been. It was fantastic.
Well, I'm going to salute every time I cross the border now too.
Good. Righto.
Thanks, Michael.
Righto. Thanks, mate.
Another delegate resident with a cairn on their property is Black Allen enthusiast Russell Buckman. He not only lives on the border, but has hiked much of it as well.
My name's Russell Buckman. I live in Delegate. Own a property on the northern side of Mount Delegate. And the border is actually my northern boundary. When Allen headed east, when he came off Delegate Hill, he actually put a cairn at 90 degrees to the summit and actually owned that block of ground.
Oh, and you can see the cairn on your property?
No, I can't find it. I've looked, but I can't
find
it.
So you can find all these other cairns, but not the one on your own place?
No, and it's all cleared. But I'd say it's been cleared for many years and probably someone's just taken it away because it was in the way of the fence line. Yes. It's in the way of the fence line, so I'd had to go.
Even though Russell's own cairn isn't there anymore, he's keen to show me the ones on Irene's property that are still intact. It's just a matter of jumping in the back of his Land Cruiser.
Now, you can move your seat forward a bit if there's not enough room in
the
back.
I'm fine,
before.
Totally fine.
In fact, you go down here, you go off to the right.
And not getting lost.
You go up to the...
So, sorry, where's the border?
Yes.
And we are... Not right. Lost the the road that goes to the cairn?
Basically, yes. Dead cow.
There's a dead cow.
While we do a U-turn at the dead cow, Russell tells me about the abalone fisherman who pulled over that cairn at Conference Point down at Cape Howe and dragged it down the beach so he could extend his fishing season. Then there's local anomalies, like fruit fly.
I do often wonder how people who live at Bonane ever get their fruit home.
Because?
They buy in Bombala, New South Wales.
Don't take
fruit into Victoria.
So we're back on the track?
I think this is the right one. Now, somewhere around here, you'll find a pile of rocks.
Is this a treasure hunt?
Yes, you've got to find it yourself.
We're standing at Alan's first cairn, the one he erected in 1870 after taking over from Black at Delegate.
Oh, wow, that's a great one. That's a great one.
It's a large 2-metre-high pyramid, square at the base, and made of beautifully carved rocks. It has a central log sticking up from the middle and looks much the same as it would have 148 years ago.
Longitude, 148 degrees, 40 minutes, 47 points.
And if I check Black and Allen's notebooks in the archive, I can give you the all-important, exact latitude and longitude of this point.
Longitude, 54.3630 seconds east.
There was three options for a border. One was a line on the, trying to remember the latitude now, took in north of Marimbula. I think it was 35 or 36 degree latitude from the coast right across the South Australian border. The other option was a line from the start of the Murray to the start of the Snowy, and then the border followed the Snowy down. So we'd then be all in New South Wales and not half and half. And then the third option was, as they went out around the coast, they picked Cape Howe as being the most point away from the Murray in a straight line between the other two.
Why? Why that number third option?
I'm not real sure why that number three come up. I'm assuming it'll be a colonial dispute over who gets more land and what. Other than that, I've no idea what was in their mind to make that decision.
And even though this is history, the place where the border was finally ratified in 2006 is still odd.
Well, there's the survey mark.
Oh, that's the survey mark.
Modern survey markers are not so romantic. They're metal boxes embedded in the ground.
So the other survey mark is?
Right between those two blue posts. And here's our line.
Oh, look at this. Paint on the road. Victorian border, New South Wales. That is so unprepossessing.
Then they had the ceremony where they unveiled the plaque just there.
The 2006 plaque, by the way, has gone missing, pilfered.
And then we had the kids from Delegate School actually straddle the border behind the rock. And I think that finished up on Melbourne and Sydney TV.
So as I'm talking to you now, I'm in Victoria and you are in New South Wales,
yes.
And we're in the middle of the road.
Yes, we are.
And no one's about to come and run us over, but it's very hilarious. We're talking over state lines.
We are. And you're on, I guess you're on home soil.
And you're on home soil.
Yes.
Lovely to meet you. I feel I should shake your hand like the governors did over the border.
Over the border, done.
If I were to hike along the straight bit of the New South Wales-Victorian border today, at this point, I'd be about a third of the way into my trek to the coast. I'm not going to do it, but I'm assured it is possible.
Here's an interesting photo.
This is Rod Deakin, a retired lecturer in surveying from RMIT University.
I'll try and describe. So this person here is Keith McPherson, and he's shown here at Cape Howe. Now, as far as I know, he's the first person who's been known to have walked the borderline, traversed the borderline. And he did this in 1959, just over January, December of 1959, 1960. And he set off with his wife, Daphne, and Bessie McCallum, and they had another bloke with them. So after a few days, the bloke dropped off the pace. After a few more days, Bessie McCullum also disappeared, but he did get through to the end with his wife Daphne. And so that was in 24th of December 1959 to the 12th of January. So there you go, 18 days. And by the look of him, it's a very rugged trip. He's got the knees out of his pants, all the buttons are gone from his shirt. They've probably been tugged off in the bush, and he's looking very windblown on down at Cape Howe.
Rod himself has walked the line with his colleagues from RMIT and has even restored some of the border cairns. He tells me the idea came about because of a speeding fine, a misplaced original border cairn that, thanks to 20th century road expansion, was put back in the wrong place.
One of our staff members, Ron Grenfell, he'd been alerted to the fact that there was something about a road realignment, and they'd not put the border mark back in the correct spot. To tell you, we're in New South Wales or Victoria. And that somebody had been caught speeding and was going to challenge that because he was booked by New South Wales police in Victoria or vice versa. And it had something to do with this road realignment and the border mark not being put back in the spot. So Ron thought it would be a good idea if we go down and actually find some of the old survey marks and reinstate where the border was on this new realigned bit. And then we remarked where the border line crosses the highway, Vic Roads, now put a big stone there with a little plaque on it or something like that. And then there was...
So it was in the wrong place and you were right?
Yes. Well, it wasn't the wrong spot and we put it in the right spot. But whether that actually resulted in a refunding of a road fine or not, I'm not quite sure of it.
Putting it in the right spot? That's the art of surveying, much the same today as it was then. Black's notebooks again.
The triangulation point at Tingaringi.
So
Delegate
at Tingaringi,
reads 82 degrees.
He's read an angle of 82 degrees, 58 minutes and 00 seconds.
At Delegate Hill, the angle is 39 degrees, 49 minutes and 1 second. At Bowen, it is 57 degrees, 12 minutes and 59 seconds.
We know angles in a triangle should add to 180.
I calculate the addition of these numbers to be 180.
And then down on that next column up across, there are sides.
Therefore, the side opposite Tingaringi can be measured as
137,187.84 feet.
One of Rod Deakin's most beautifully restored border cairns is the number one cairn at the source of the Murray River, which is the most westerly end of the Black Allen line. I'm determined to find it, and with the help of the park ranger Thomas Grounds, I've managed to hike as far as the spring, where our colonial surveyors pitched their tents all those years ago. Today, it isn't pretty. The damage from the feral animals, especially the horses, is shocking.
Here's a black one. Such a freaky thing.
We just spooked him when we were coming down, but he's just run around a half circle to come back and have a look who it was. And he'll head off, go and find the rest of his group.
As well as horses, we see deer, pigs and rabbits.
In the middle of nowhere, and there's a steel pole?
Yeah, with many containers are hanging off there. There's two containers hanging off.
There's a steel pole poking out of the ground with plastic containers attached, and these containers have notebooks inside so that hikers can register their names.
Oh, Spidey.
A complimentary...
Huntsman. So can you write my name in there? Thank you, Brumbies, for the lovely tracks. And it's not a very picturesque pole, but I can understand why it would be difficult. They would have had to have hauled this up here, so good on them.
So this is the number one spring, and I'm told the number one border cairn, the official start of the Black Allen line, isn't far from here. It should be in a straight line, but what's that mean when the earth is curved? This was a big problem for the early surveyors. In 1870, there was no agreed standard for the shape of the earth. Most geodesists, those who specialised in the exact shape of the earth, thought that the planet was an ellipsoid, a circle that squeezed at either end rather than a sphere.
Geodesic, curve of alignment, great elliptic arc and loxodrome.
But squeezed by how much? even a small amount would affect these border calculations.
Clark's 1866 ellipsoid, Clark's 1858 ellipsoid, Airy's 1830 ellipsoid.
The 1866 Clark ellipsoid turned out to be a good guess.
The survey results produced a line that passed within 16.8 feet of the original pile, called Conference Point, thus confirming the choice of the 1866 Clark ellipsoid.
It's beautiful maths, but when you're in the bush, what does it mean to nature?
I suppose it's just a line on the map, isn't it, when you're standing here in the bush, because it's nothing really changes. It's the same snow gum here as 20 metres over there.
And the old surveying maps that these cairns relate to are so, so different from Google Earth.
I have no idea. Where are we?
Where is that number one border cairn?
Can't see it. Oh, yeah. How do you know it's not just a pile of rocks that some bushwalker has left?
Well, it is a pile of rocks that a bushwalker has left.
So you're having me on. This is not a historic site?
No, this is not a historic site. Oh. This is just to let okay. people know that who are coming up to the area.
I thought it was poorly built.
Yeah.
I can see, yes, I can see it. Okay, wow.
And this is the real one.
That is amazing.
The real number one border cairn.
So well hidden in amongst the
so well
the bush.
Hidden. So well hidden. Woohoo!
And that's the end of my journey.
Woohoo.
But what does it mean?
Bigger than I thought.
Am I in New South Wales or Victoria?
This is just where we live. It happens to have this fancy dotted line that had a big bunch of people come and talk about. But there's not a us and them situation. Oh, we all laugh and say, yes, we come from south of the border. Down Mexico way, but
yeah.
So here's my border question. When you go to the pub, do you ask for a pot or a pint or a schooner or a middy?
I don't drink beer. I ask for a glass of wine.
There's a diplomatic answer.
No, it's the truth. I don't like beer. I don't know. I've never understood, even though I've lived in various bits of Australia, what's the difference? A glass of beer is a glass of beer. I want a big one, a little one. Why do we have to call it pots and dots or whatever it is you talked about?
Latitude 37 degrees, longitude 148 degrees.
Irene Butterworth, who lives at Border Cairn number 9, somewhere not far from Delegat, ending Lyn Gallagher's trek across the straight bit of the New South Wales-Victorian border.
149 degrees, 0.36800 east.
Thanks to everyone involved in this voyage along the Black Allen Line, and do check out our website for pictures of those famous border cairns and the amazing territory that those early surveyors calmly clomped through. I'm Rebecca Huntley. This is The History Listen. Catch you next week.